Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me again today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. If that's too much for you, can't remember that. How about paulsevangel.com? Paulsevangel.com. There are two addresses for the same place. And go there. You can download these programs for free. Listen to them. We also have some goodies for you that you'll have to purchase. Can't give those away for free, but we do have the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Commentary, our two featured items. We also have a few other items on there for you to browse, such as a companion Bible and a few other good helpful tools. We also have a conference coming up September 18th through the 20th in, where are we at? In Chicago, in the Chicagoland area, 2009, September 18th through 20th. Come join us as myself, Martin Zender, Clyde Pilkington, Jim Corum, Dean Huff, Tony Nungesser, and some other brethren will be there to present God's truth and have some fellowship testimony time and question and answers. So if you come up and you want to be peaceful and come join us, please do. Well, we're in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We left off last time. We're gonna. I wanted to point out once again in Ephesians 2, 11 to 22, it's a dispensational section. It has reference to what we were in as nations and flesh, who were not part of Israel's citizenship. Verse 11 says, "Remember, wherefore remember that once you," verse 13, "yet now," verse 19, "consequently then." So we look in the past, we see what the present is like through Christ Jesus, and then what are the consequences. Well, in verse 13 we read, "Yet now in Christ Jesus, you," emphatic, "you Gentiles, who once are far off, are become near by the blood of Christ," or in the blood of Christ. Blood is a reference to the soul. By the way, there's a book called Spirit, and Spirituality, and What is Soul by A.E. Nock. Great tool to see the difference between spirit, soul, and body, and how the term blood is used in Scripture. We become near in the blood of Christ. The blood is referring to the soul. The life or the soul of all flesh is in the blood. Christ had to suffer deeply so we can get the position we have right now. And it says, "For he is our peace who makes both one," that is Gentile and Jew, "and raises," or tears down, "the central wall of the barrier." And we quoted last time that in there was a stone wall found that had this inscription on it that was in the temple, and it read this: "No alien is to enter within this, in the balustrade and embankment about the sacred place. Whoever is caught will be responsible for his death, which will ensue." So let's give an example. Peter went and converted Cornelius to faith in Christ in the book of Acts chapter 10. Now what happens if Peter and Cornelius both went to the temple? Well, Peter would have to say to Cornelius, "Hey bud, you have to stop right here. Only I can go further than this." And Cornelius, what if he would have said, "Well, Peter, aren't we one in Christ? Aren't we all one in the body of Christ?" Well, the answer to that question is Cornelius would have never said that because Peter never taught that. Peter knew that the Gentiles were second-class citizens. They were blessed through them. Peter and the 12 apostles and the nation as a whole were to be a priesthood nations, and only they had the direct access to God, just like the Levites had the direct access to God in the Hebrew Scriptures. So in the coming time, in the millennium, the Gentile will be blessed through the Jew, and they will have the direct access to God. God will be encamped in the midst of them, and the Gentiles will have to come up through them into the to worship the true and living God. Well, Paul says here that this barrier has been raised, the enmity in his flesh. So in his flesh, Christ raised that central wall of the barrier, nullifying the law of precepts in decrees, and this is referring to the law as a whole, and even in the book of Acts there were decrees sent out to the Gentiles by James and those in Jerusalem, and those very decrees themselves even showed a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. And it says that, and why does he raise the central wall of the barrier? That he should be creating the two, Jew and Gentile, in himself into one new humanity. Friends, the body of Christ is a new creation. The new birth, or being born again, is not a reference to any Gentile anywhere. The new birth is a reference to Israel, and we've got to stop robbing Israel and taking from them. When we rob Israel of teaching that belongs to them as a nation, when we rob them of their promises, we do not enrich ourselves, and we only rob them. Somebody once told a story, Vladimir Gelesnov, I believe it was, who talked about two men who robbed a home, and they went in there and they spent all their time robbing of all this loot. And when it came time to sell, they didn't realize, but the names of the owners were engraved at the bottom of these precious treasures that they had robbed. And yet we have Christian robbers today robbing Israel and realizing that they've neither enriched themselves nor helped and only robbed others. That's what those thieves found out when they robbed the engraved treasures from the person's house. And this is what Christian robbers are doing today. They're robbing God and they're robbing Israel, their promises, and not enriching themselves. I'm actually going to quote it. I wrote this quote in my Bible, so instead of guessing or trying to recall, here's the story. Certain thieves robbed a nobleman of all his silverware. The next day, as they were getting ready to sell the silver to the pawn shops, they noticed that the nobleman's name was engraved on the silver. The ringleader said, "We have spent time and energy only to find ourselves encumbered by a dead weight." Christian robbers have stolen from God's treasure house of truth, stealing and appropriating to themselves promises for others, and in so doing, they stripped others of their blessing and cheated themselves. That's from the Unsearchable Riches, Volume 2, page 113 and 14. By the way, that's what your margins are for in your Bible, is when you find some good truth, write it in there. it'll help you recall some of these things later. So I actually wrote that when I read it. I thought it was such a good thing. Well, Paul says he's nullified the law of precepts and decrees, that he should be creating in him the two in himself into one new humanity, making peace. Why is there peace between Jew and Gentile today? Because members of the body of Christ are one new humanity. All those distinctions are gone. And by the way, for one to erect the law of Moses today is to essentially treat themselves as if not being a member of the body of Christ. Did you hear that? To erect the law of Moses and the precepts and decrees that went with it is essentially to deny the one body. And we're going to see in Ephesians chapter 4 where Paul tells us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit with the tie of peace. And this unity, we keep the unity by not creating or re-erecting that which is past, bringing in practices that belong to a different era and to a different time frame. Paul, when he talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, he doesn't say make the unity. The unity is already made. God made this unity, as we saw here in Ephesians 2. He made it. Well, how do we unmake the unity of the Spirit, as it were? Well, we do it by erecting things, the laws and decrees that went that were from a bygone era. So Paul says here, making peace, and should be reconciling both Jew and Gentile in one body to God through the cross, killing the enmity in it. Notice how both Jew and Gentile both needed to be reconciled to God. Isn't that interesting? They both had to be reconciled to God. They reconciled the both in one body to God through the cross, killing the enmity in it. The Jew under law needed to be reconciled because he couldn't keep it. And the Gentile just turned to idolatry back in Genesis 10 and 11, and they need to be reconciled as well. But here it says, should be reconciled the both in one body to God through the cross, killing the enmity in it. So through the cross work of Christ, this enmity was destroyed. And coming, he brings the evangel of peace to you, those afar, and peace to those near. By the way, in the Bible, there's more than one good news. Here it's the evangel of peace, or the gospel of peace in the King James. You know, we see that word gospel, it's like the word church, it's generic until given a context. In the scriptures, we have the evangel, the grace of God. We have the evangel, the glory of Christ. Here it's the evangel of peace. And this is regarding the good news concerning the new position of those who form the members of the body of Christ, that there's no longer enmity. They're reconciled to God, and they're one with each other, and there's no law of precepts and decrees that will re-erect the enmity. What a position we have. This is the evangel of peace. So in coming, he brings the evangel of peace to you, those afar, that's the Gentile, and peace to those near, that was the Jew. For through him, that is the Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have had the access in one spirit to the Father. Verse 16 says one body. Verse 18 says one spirit. One body, one spirit, and we have access to the Father. Notice in verse 16, it's reconciled to God. Verse 18, it's access to the Father. Remember, we saw it in Ephesians. We're going to see this pattern. It's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see the term God and Father used, and they're very important to distinguish between the two. So we have access in one spirit to the Father. Romans 5 says that through whom we have the access into this grace in which we stand. And here, this is not only the grace in which we stand, here is expanded in Ephesians to see our present position. Verse 19. By the way, I'm going to read you a few verses here from the Concordant Commentary. The enmity in his flesh is the national or race hatred between Jew and Gentile. In his flesh, he confirmed the promises which gave primacy to the Jew. This was figured by the barrier which shut the aliens out of the sanctuary. Isn't that interesting? The new humanity, as we just read, verse 15, is quite a distinct matter from the one body. It can be put on, chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, and is in contrast with the old humanity, Ephesians 4, 22. I'm not going to comment. I just thought it were relevant to read for you. Now, verse 19, consequently then, what's the consequence of what we just read? Verse 11 through 12, we were to remember what we once were as Gentiles. And yet now in Christ Jesus, we're near. We are reconciled in one body to God, and we have access to the Father. And the enmity is gone. Verse 19, consequently then, no longer are you guests and sojourners. Did you hear that? We're no longer like the person who came among the children of the nation of Israel, and we're treated as second-class citizens, even though treated kindly and welcomed. They didn't have all the privileges. We're no longer guests and sojourners, but are fellow citizens of the saints and belong to God's family. Isn't that interesting? We are fellow citizens. We're together citizens of the saints. Now, that word of the saints, some have translated of the holy place. In other words, the celestial realm. We are fellow citizens of the holy places and belong to God's family, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, that's not referring to the Old Testament apostles and prophets or even the 12. This is referring to a new set of apostles. In Ephesians 4, look at this. In Ephesians 4, we read in verse 9, now he ascended, referring to the ascension of Christ. What is it except he first descended and also into the lower parts of the earth? He who descends is the same who also ascends also up over all who are of the heavens, that he should be completing all. So it's referring now to his ascension. And the same one gives these indeed as apostles, yet these as prophets, yet these as evangelists, yet these as pastors and teachers. The ascended Christ gave a new set of apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and these are not the ones he chose on earth. We'll have to stop there. This is Dan Sheridan, and this is Cross and Throne Ministries, our web address, crossandthrone.com, or paulsevangel.com, our phone number, 847-312-4676. We love to hear from you if you're listening and you're enjoying the programs. Go to our website, get a copy of the Concordant Version and the Concordant Commentary, the two greatest tools on planet Earth. Also, September 18th through the 20th, here in 2009, we're having a conference up in the Chicagoland area. Won't you join us? We hope you do. It's free, no strings attached. Just come and enjoy the fellowship. Until next time, remember this, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.